Just one? It's the Riot Podcast, one mic.
Hi, everybody.
So something downstairs broke big. So this is what you're getting. I don't even know if you'll have any Friday show in it. You probably will, right?
Yeah, you will.
Sure, well, whatever. It'll sound funny, though, because it will be the processed versus the unprocessed, which you normally get. Info. They want to know. People want to know stuff.
This podcast will feature Cannon, who's new to Radio U.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Anybody got anything else they want to get in?
Say the Facebook page.
Spring fundraiser. Donate now at RadioU.com. This show exists because of Radio U and RadioU.com/donate or IamRadioU.com. Keep Radio U on the air. The fundraiser is coming up soon. Mention the Facebook page. So the Facebook page, riot.radioU.com.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye, everybody. Bye.
Think of the worst thing in the world. Okay, now listen to a clip of the worst of the riot. That way it won't seem quite as terrible.
So, Nikki, did you over the weekend watch Fuller House?
I watched 2 episodes of Fuller House.
That is amazing that I also watched
2 episodes?
2 episodes of it.
I mean, I feel like I will eventually pick up the rest of them. I didn't hate it. I didn't, like, love it, but I've watched worse.
I was fascinated by it.
Really?
By everything surrounding, because first off, I saw, and I mean, this is the whole internet, I guess, but I saw people that were loving it. And then I feel like every television critic on the internet wrote a scathing review about how terrible it was.
Sure.
The thing I found so amazing about it was I was kind of like you, like, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I don't really have any affinity. Like, I'm sure I probably have seen an episode of Full House at some point, but I have no frame of reference for it or, you know, whatever. But in watching it, the thing that amazed me was this. Fuller House is a spectacular example of a piece of media that is absolutely targeted at a very, very specific group of people. Like, it is down to, like, some of the jokes that they made. And there was one particular moment where there was a dance number, and I was like, I was blown away because it was, again, one of those things like, wow, there's a group of women in a very specific age bracket that are just losing their minds about how great this moment is right here. And that I was blown away by it. It was just, again, this hyper targeted show that I'm sure other people watched, but it was really built for people who used to watch that show. I mean, the question I had watching it too was, there's a laugh track on it.
Yeah.
Did they do that in front of a studio audience or did they just throw in a canned laugh track?
No, I read it. It was in front of a studio audience.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay.
A studio audience of probably Uber fans.
Oh, I'm sure.
Meaning like you just ate it up.
Yeah. There were moments when the audience was laughing where I was like,
again, super fans.
Yeah. But I watching it, I was like, well, was that funny? Was that like a thing?
Well, you still have a laugh director.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been in a studio audience where you do have people kind of telling you,
encouraging
like,
you where your spot's supposed to be to laugh.
You better laugh now.
So it's in the queue. I might pick it up, but I didn't feel like binge watching. I didn't feel like it was a binge show.
Sure.
So we'll see. But I was disappointed. I wanted to watch Crouching Tiger, the Hidden Dragon sequel.
Uh huh.
But I did not get to that.
I watched it.
Did you?
I did.
The reviews are bad.
Well, here's the thing about it.
But everything's bad.
Well, it is not. If you go back and watch the original Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, it's an
masterpiece.
It's an art house film.
Yeah.
Like, it absolutely is. It is an art house film. This film is not that. This is a kung fu film. Like, it is about fighting. And the story is okay. It's not great. But it was, like, the guy who directed it, I guess, is normally just a fight director.
Oh, so the storyline might lag a little bit, but the fighting?
Oh, there's just so, like, if you enjoy watching a kung fu movie, like, that, I enjoyed it. Like, but at the same time, I enjoyed it, but you could see that it.
The holes.
Yeah, I mean, like, it certainly, It's almost like really they just bought the naming rights and slapped it on there as a way to get you to watch it. Because if Netflix had just said, hey, we made a kung fu movie.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, I'm not watching that.
Well, I like kung fu stuff, so I'll still give it a try. And maybe I'll put it before the rest of the Fuller House episodes.
I enjoyed it a lot. Like, it was fun to watch. The other thing that was really weird about it, though, is that it's available in a ton of different languages. Like, for me, it defaulted to, it was in Chinese with English subtitles.
Yeah.
And I was like, after a while, I'm watching and I'm like, wait a minute.
The English never kicks in.
Well, I'm looking at them and I'm like, they're not speaking Chinese.
Yeah.
They're speaking English. So if you go to the English track, like, this is a movie that is in English, but I don't know if they thought I would think that it was somehow better if it was in Chinese, because the original Crouching Tiger is in Mandarin with English subtitles, depending on how you watch it, I guess. And so I'm like, wait. You're telling me this movie is in English, but you chose to show it to me in Chinese? What? Huh? Yeah. You can watch it in English. And it's not dubbed. That's really the people talking.
Well, I have a goal of to watch it within, like, maybe by the end of March. So I hope to get to it soon.
Hey, you got time?
People just have until Daredevil returns.
Yeah, so, well, I think that's like 19 days or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, so you have time.
You've got time.
This is the worst of the riot.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Many of us go through life, I think, not finding that thing that we're really good at. I mean, we may find something that we're good at, but our true gift eludes us. The Chen Zhitong, he actually knows exactly what he's good at. Chen, last year, while waiting for his daughter to do something at a supermarket in China, he saw a claw machine in the corner.
Oh, one of the arcade things?
So he decided to go put a dollar in, or whatever the Chinese equivalent is, and to move the claw around and grab a little stuffed animal to give to his daughter when she came back. So he nabbed one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one.
Oh, he figured out the, would it be a formula, or he's just like, the sweet spot?
He's the claw whisperer, Nikki.
He just knows how to win them.
He just knows. In fact, in 6 months, he's won over 3,000 toys. Which
high quality toys. I think that's what you need to put first. Anything from a claw machine, wouldn't you love to have it?
Yeah, about that. You should see the photos of his house now. He now lives in what may have once been a nice place, but is now a complete dump.
Because of all the stuff.
Because it's just full of all the crap that he's won over the last year. 3,000 toys in 6 months. And as Nikki's pointed out, none of them are nice.
They're not usually like name brand. It's just slightly off.
I mean, do you think, could you go and like just sell them? What do you sell them for, like $2 a piece?
Yeah, sell them back to the claw machine things.
Actually, that's not a bad idea at all.
You could become a retailer.
He says that he's gotten so good that the arcade operators know him and ask him to please not come in and play.
Oh, to not go, yeah.
Okay, like, hey, could you not come in here?
Well, it's not too far off. Like, if you learn how to count cards or something, like, he knows how to manipulate the system then.
Well, he says that he can. He says the most important thing you could do is watch the claw. And he says that he has gotten to this place where he can watch how a claw moves on its track and know whether or not it's actually even
possible,
worth playing at all.
Yeah.
He says that he can look at it in some machines. He's like, there's absolutely no point in even playing because the claw is so weak, it will not pick anything up.
The claw.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, congratulations to him. But really, is that winning?
Well, he's found his purpose, Nikki.
I don't know if it is.
He's found that thing for which he was created. He was made for the claw.
Hey, what he could do, and then totally have a movie made at him, you know, down the road, is he could get all those and then donate them to kids that don't have toys.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, that way you're not just leaving them in your house, because that's a lot.
Oh, it's a lot. I mean, and again, I'm looking at them, and I don't think there are any of these. You could give one of these to children of a certain age, and they would be excited. But at a certain age, at a certain age, they would begin going, why are you handing me this knockoff SpongeBob?
Ever wonder how Obadiah spends his days off?
It's just me in a castle. I got to fight like 1,000 wizards. The only way to beat him is to punch him as hard as I can in their faces.
And while he does that, you can enjoy this Worst of the Riot clip.
Let's talk about you and high school. Did you ever have somebody in high school that you just thought they seemed a little older than they should?
Oh, like
maybe a little too mature.
Person in disguise.
Yeah, like maybe they were 21 Jump Streeting you.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like, oh yeah, you're totally believable.
Wink, wink.
You shave 3 times a day. I'm sure that
We had one my freshman year in high school, but he was only there for so long.
Oh,
and people
really?
Kind of knew him. He was more like he was just the undercover police officer there to help in case anybody needed you. But it wasn't like a big surprise.
He was like an air marshal for 9th grade.
Yeah, kind of. Like for just school. You know, he's just around.
Okay, I could see maybe passing somebody off as a senior, but how do you pass somebody off as a freshman?
Well, he wasn't a freshman. That was my freshman year.
Oh, okay. So he was at the school.
And if there was others, I didn't know.
Okay. Was it you, Nikki?
Are you a cop?
You have to tell me if you're a cop.
No.
Okay. There was a guy at a high school in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg. He was a member of the National Honor Society. His name, Asher Potts. Okay. Sounds made up, right?
It does.
Asher
Potts.
But
not like in a cop way, but like, well, no, I guess in a cop way, who was always trying to buy something from somebody to try to get him in trouble.
Well, Asher Potts was made up. He was a senior. He was going to graduate in May. Now, listen to all the stuff that he did.
But he was a cop?
No, he was not a cop.
He was nobody?
He was just some dude, a 23-year-old Ukrainian national.
Who had to go back to school. That's fine.
Well, he came to the United States and apparently on a visa of some kind and then just assumed an identity and enrolled in high school.
And almost made it.
So close. But listen to, looked at the life he had for himself. He was a member of the National Honor Society. He was actively involved in school, working with a student advisory group for a food bank. He was a member of the ROTC and the Naval Sea Cadet programs. Here's a photo.
That's a lot of lies.
Here's a photo of him. He got a 4.16 GPA. And here's a photo of him with the state senator, from his district. And let's
see. How did he get found out?
They won't say how they found out. They got a tip, a report, a something.
Someone told on him.
The police looked into it, and lo and behold, they arrested him this week.
What was his name?
His assumed name was Asher Potts.
Okay, Mr. Potts, Asher. The problem is, you did too much.
You think so?
You needed to lay low, and you could have got away with it. But you just started to make waves. I bet you it was the second highest person.
Maybe from
the person behind him who could never do better than Asher Potts.
I just can't seem to beat this guy.
Yeah, that was like his nemesis. And then he found out your secret and he told on you.
Arthur Samarin, that was his actual name. But Asher Potts, he was killing it, man. He was literally doing great. He was poised to, go into, I guess he had been doing some stuff at Penn State. Like, he could have gone on scholarship to Penn State, might have probably joined the Navy. I mean, all this stuff. And he would have gotten away with it
if it weren't
for those meddling kids.
Whoever was behind him, scholastic-wise. So, and also, how do you at 23 look like a high school student, I guess?
I mean, I don't know, especially
you believe what you want to believe.
Him standing here, he's got his head shaved, he's wearing his Navy whatever uniform. It's convincing enough, right? I mean, again, you had a narc in your school.
But we knew it.
Well, maybe everybody thought he was the narc, but he just stayed there forever.
No, we were okay with it. We knew it.
You're about to listen to more Worst of the Riot. It won't be your worst decision today.
I just found a bag of fireworks in the men's restroom. Would you guys like to light them off?
Nikki, sometimes a teacher has it coming, right?
Okay.
They tell you how to live your life, and you're going to show them.
So what do you show them with?
All right, well, we've got 3 girls that are being accused of spiking their teacher's drink.
Oh, no, I saw this one.
Did you?
What was it, red pepper flakes?
Yeah. So they were arraigned on, maybe that's not the right term, but they were brought in and accused on Saturday morning. What had happened is one of the 3 girls, they're in junior high, by the way, so we can't release their names.
So they go to junior high jail.
Junior high jail. That's what school is anyway. So nothing's changing.
Hey, I hate to tell you, the rest of your life's like that too. Work's like that. Everything's like that.
It's all jail.
That's life.
All we want to do is live, and you have to keep going to some place.
No, but you're not allowed to do that, actually. So they put hot pepper flakes in.
Apparently, one of the students was angry for being disciplined.
Aw.
And so one of the girls distracted the teacher. Somebody else grabbed the soda. The third dumped in the red pepper flakes. They put it back. She began drinking it, and her throat got hot and scratchy. Then she began to choke and experienced a shortness of breath.
Well, the problem is you never know how someone will react to what you're putting in the item.
You never know.
Like, oh, what's the big deal? Hot pepper flakes. You don't know. This person could, their throat could close up, and then you've killed your teacher, and you just thought you were trying to get back at them.
Get to the bad part.
So that's why.
She had it coming.
I know you think
you don't
that
tell
right
me,
now.
You don't tell me what to do.
I know. And I, at junior high, I was all emotional too. Okay.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Really?
I know. It's a shocker. And I didn't get well with all my teachers too. So
did
I know
you,
it's hard.
Did you say hurtful things?
No.
Yes.
No.
Very hurtful.
One teacher was mean, and I did tell on that teacher. But outside of that, it was pretty good.
And did that teacher get in trouble?
Yeah, they did.
She went to teacher jail?
He did. Yes, he
did. He went to teacher jail?
He went to teacher jail.
For what he did?
Mm-hmm.
Did you put a little something in his drink, too?
No, I wasn't like that.
Oh, okay.
Because the person really could. Again, you don't know. You're like, oh, I just put something, and before you know it, the person's allergic to what you put in there. And then it becomes a bigger problem.
So here's what we've got. All three of these students were arrested Friday, taken to Volusia Regional Juvenile Detention Center in Daytona Beach. I want to go to Daytona Beach.
Oh, I know. But again, it's not good.
It's not. They're not like on the beach.
It's not beach jail.
Okay. They are each facing felony charges.
You asked for a room with a view. Like, I just want a beachfront.
I understand that I'm in trouble, but it would be possible for me to get a sliding door that opens onto
the
beach.
It's like an Airbnb.
Do you guys
it's
have
not
that?
Funny,
no. Well, I'm going to put something in your drink.
Because I don't want to go to jail.
So they are facing charges ranging from poisoning to tampering with consumer products.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose the teacher is supposed to come forward and say, well, I'm not going to press charges.
And they come to an agreement or something.
Nikki, I'll just tell you right now, if you poison my drink, I'm pressing charges.
I would never put something in. I won't spit in your drink, and I won't put anything in there.
Well, I'll tell you something else. If you tell Michael about what I did, I'm going to make it even worse for you.
Hey, the only thing I'll put in your is more creamer. All right, I'll help you out.
You've already said you're a rat.
Remember, you're the one who put something in my drink, the cranberry that fell in the one time.
Well, that was an accident.
And that was a garnish.
What you should be doing right now is hunting your next meal out of doors. Since you're not,
you might as well listen to the worst of the riot.
Let's talk about normal. Three Red Bulls before breakfast might be normal, but is it a good idea? I don't know. I'll leave that to you and your energy drink diary and your food journal. You're gonna have to carry a lot of stuff around. You might go digital, use your handset.
Oh, yeah, there's many apps.
I don't want a food journal app. I don't.
Why? It's not the worst thing in the world.
I kind of don't want to know at the end of the day what is everything
what
that I've eaten.
Sure.
Yeah. Might be best to just not know. But, you know, you figure normal is just the majority, right? Or the majority, maybe not on a societal level, but the people you hang out with. Like in your corner of the world, normal is blank. And it's really just that thing that everybody else does. And there's something about the human brain, like we want to be normal. We don't want to stick out. And of course, there are those of us that want the attention and want to stick out. But on the one hand, we have this yearning to be a precious snowflake that's recognized as unique. And then we have this other yearning that is like, I just want to be like everyone else. I want to wear the same kind of clothes and do the same kind of things and go to the same kind of places. But again, normal is just determined by the majority. Here's another good question. Maybe instead of normal, the question should be what is good or maybe even what is best. Now you're talking about an entirely different thing. good is not something that can be determined by the majority. Like, good is something that is determined by some kind of authority. Something that says, like, this is good. You know this is good. And now, boy, we could find all kinds of people that are going to tell you what is good. What's good? Well, my professor says that an A is good, so I'm going to write this paper. And, okay, great. Let's talk about in your own personal life. God will tell you what is good if you let him. God's not in the business of making anybody do anything. I think a lot of us don't like the idea of letting God in our life because he is going to say, hey, this is good. And you're like, don't tell me what to do. But the reality of it is we're just marching to the drum of the majority all the time, trying to be normal. God wants something better than normal for you. He wants something good for you. I think you should take some time and talk to him about it. See what God's all about, because here's the thing. You could be normal, and normal could land you in a really ugly place. And that really ugly place, it's just normal. It's no big deal. God has something better than normal. Say, Jesus, I want something better than normal. I don't want to turn out like everybody else. I want you to come into my life. I want you to fill me with your spirit. I want to have something good, something better. Man, God really does have that for you. There are a lot of very normal things going on that are not good. I don't want them. You don't want them. Get something better.
There's a lot you might not know about Nikki.
At 16, she won the gold, turned pro, and was named one of Barbara Walters' most fascinating persons of 1994.
See what else you can learn by listening right now to The Worst of the Riot.
So we've reached a settlement now in the Subway class action lawsuit in which people have said, hey, you're calling it a footlong. It's not a foot long.
I feel like it was a few years ago, but basically someone took a picture, and you might remember it or not, but they posted on Facebook a picture of their Subway sandwich, the foot long one with a measuring tape, and it shows that it was 11 inches, not 12 inches, and that caused all this hubbub.
And Subway, I love this. Their defense was like, we called it a foot long. We didn't say that it was, in fact, a foot long.
I see the difference.
So, whatever.
But also, too, then they say, like, the bread just...
The bread shrinks.
Shrinks or something like that.
Once you wrap it up and it starts absorbing the moisture or something, from something, blah, 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 that. Shrinking. So, you know, you guys can't whatever. But, nope, the ruling has come in. There's a settlement, Nikki. And the settlement is that for the next 4 years, Subway is going to be instituting practices to ensure that it is, in fact, a minimum of 12 inches long.
It's almost like, you know, when they're making your sandwich, the sandwich artisan that is creating it, they have the area behind, like, all the sandwich fillers, and it's almost like there'd be a ruler there just to make sure that it's 12 inches.
So here's what, get a load of this. The judge approved this settlement, which included... hey, it's going to be 12 inches long.
Wasn't it a class action lawsuit?
Class action lawsuit. $520,000 in attorney fees and $500 for each of the individuals who are representatives of the class. That's 10 people.
Yeah.
So let's do the math here. The people that brought the lawsuit, they got a total of $5,000 between the 10 of them. The lawyers got $520,000.
See why they worked so hard for you?
You should really become a lawyer.
Yes.
And not just someone that eats at Subway.
Because you missed out on some of that money.
Wow. So that is, I mean, there may be more to the settlement. That appears to be it. You get $500 for taking that picture, which is nothing. The lawyers get $500,000. And then you get to ensure that for the next 4 years, everyone gets at least a 12-inch sub when they order a foot long.
When I hear that, it tells me that my sub will take longer to make. But, you know whatever.
The other thing it tells me is that in exactly 4 years, Subway is immediately going back
to changing it.
That, or they're going to move to a 10-inch sandwich.
Yeah, it's like, to fine, make that's up what you get.
For the fact that for the last, you know, 4 years, they will have done a 12-inch sandwich.
Ed, and so. I bet you just see a change in all the advertising if you haven't already. It's been forever since I've been to Subway, so I don't know what they... Do they still do the whole foot-long thing, or...?
Well, I don't know. See, my problem with Subway is that because I'm such a picky eater, I never get my money's worth. I end up going to Subway and getting, like, meat, cheese, and some spinach.
That's it.
What a waste, right? Yeah. So,
well, I guess you could ask for extra meat, cheese, and spinach, and then it works out. And
then they charge you twice as much.
Oh, they do? Well, if you try to have an argument with them about, well, you're not taking the other condiments.
Right. Yeah. I'll let you have that discussion.
I'll do it for you.
Extra meat is what they always charge more for because they know it's the only thing that's really.
So then fill up on extra cheese and spinach.
Extra, like, can I get another layer of cheese? Can I get more spinach? Can I have some more cheese?
And one more layer.
And a little more spinach.
And another.
Okay.
Yeah, and then before you know it, you've got a wonderful sandwich.
Instead of the next Worst of the Riot clip, Obadiah has a special presentation for you.
I ever tell you about my Star Trek script? The Enterprise is 5 parsecs out of Rigel 12.
On second thought, here's that Worst of the Riot clip after all.
Boy, I really wish we had some soda in here, you know?
Just something to take the edge off.
That's exactly it right there.
Uh-huh.
Something to take the edge off.
Yeah, well.
I had a spare 2-liter in my car, and I ended up taking it inside a couple days ago, and now I don't have that spare 2-liter, and I'm completely out.
Oh, you mean you don't have it at work for emergencies?
Right, for emergencies. Oh, you know what? There's some Red Bull in there. Yeah, I'll just go get some of that.
You also have some, your cold brew is still in there, I saw the other day. Or is that old?
Could have some. Well, you know what? Here's my thing is, I don't know what Starbucks says their cold brew lasts, but like my cold brew I keep for about 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it should still be okay.
Why don't you mix your cold brew and Red Bull and see what the heck happens today?
I mean, I know where you're coming from on something like that.
Actually be quite entertaining. You can add some water to it, you know?
Yeah, I could.
You just flip out and be like, where'd Obi go? I don't quite know where he went.
Here's the thing I want you to remember. I'll tell you exactly where I'll go. Your office.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You tend to bother me more.
Right, so you probably don't want that to happen.
When you are
inebriated with the caffeine.
On caffeine, that's what happens.
It's entirely true. You know what? Let's talk about the Anthem of the Seas. Speaking of inebriated, right? On a cruise, you can drink all day. Oh, one of the reasons maybe I'm not so interested in cruises. Because I don't know if you've ever had the chance to be with drunk people and you're not.
It's not pleasant.
It's not so much fun for you.
Well, you can see, you're on the outside looking in and you can see how it's actually not fun.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Anthem of the Seas, though, Nikki.
That's a boat?
It is. It's one of the Royal Caribbean lines that was damaged in some major storms and... there's a lot of people talking about it. Well, it's back out, Nikki, but it's back in again because it went out
and then went back in.
And there was some bad weather. And then, oh, my gosh, we've all got the norovirus. So
I don't want to work on a cruise ship.
It's one of those things where you hear once. And it's like, well, that's just something. But then when you go down and everybody be like... and there's the bad weather. And it's like, you know, that's it. I'm just turning the boat around.
I still feel, the captain's like, when do you call it? I feel so bad. You saved all that time and all that money. And this is your vacation. You're on a cruise ship. It's supposed to be lots of fun. It looks a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked at them where it's like, hey, it's everything there. So why wouldn't it be fun? But you get the norovirus and you get bad weather.
It's just.
And I've been seasick once. You literally want to die.
So you've been on a cruise?
No, just been on boats.
Where were you on the boat that you got seasick?
Ferries.
Really? Like you just got seasick on a ferry?
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh,
I thought you had to be like ocean bound.
No, and remember when I took, I didn't have to be in the water. When I was taking the bridge from Key West to Miami.
Oh, my gosh. You got sick on that?
Oh, I thought.
Really?
I remember how bad it was. I thought I texted you because I threw up, but my family was around me, like Eric's family, and I didn't want to throw up out the window.
That's right.
Oh, I felt like I was going to die. I hated it.
I forgot that was on a bridge,
though. You're stuck on that bridge forever.
Wow.
Until you get to another, one of the keys, but yeah.
I want to be around when you throw up.
You never actually like full thrown up. He's never been around me with that.
No, like I've never gotten a chance. Now, when you were in the car in the back, you were in the back seat.
Back seat. I have to drive to really not get motion sickness sometimes.
So you weren't driving.
I was not. I was behind the driver.
Okay.
Man, I had the window. I kept rolling the window up and down, like trying to get some air.
They probably thought you were, needing some fresh air because
you were polluting the car. That's probably what they thought.
No, but I tried to move the window up and down.
Eric's
and then
parents went home and they were like, that Nikki is...
Eric always tells me too, it's like, well, look outside, because that's the problem. Like, I'm looking at my phone. Right. He always says, well, look outside and focus on it, but you're on a bridge. There's just water.
Going up and down?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's my question, though. Were you stomping your foot while you were throwing up?
No, I was really panicked. I really felt sick. Really sick.
Okay. So no foot stomping then?
No, that's only if I throw up at home.
At home?
Like if I throw up in the sink.
Okay. Because I want you to know, I've got a whole like glossary of Nikki throwing up worked out.
No, that was only at Christmas.
I added foot stomping to it, which I actually love the idea of you standing in front of a sink, stomping your feet, well, and then eventually throwing
that
up.
That was at Christmas time when I was really, really sick. It just seems like I throw up a lot, but I don't. And I was really, really sick, and I just was throwing up in the sink instead of the toilet because I felt like that makes me feel better because I just didn't want to in the toilet. And I'm just always, the greatest fear is that I can't stop throwing up. And so I just get really mad at myself.
Yeah.
So I'm just stomping my feet and telling my body to stop it.
If you're happy and you know, stomp your feet.
So I probably should not go on a cruise ship, should I?
No.
Man, I'll come back worthless.
No. Here's the thing. You go on a cruise ship, first off, cleanse city. People pay so much money for a good cleanse,
like that.
And you're going to be completely cleaned out.
That is true.
And two, I would say there's a high probability that you head out and everyone gets sick but you.
But me? No, I'd get it later, like 2 or 3 weeks when we get home. Yep. It's like she's still seasick.
I don't know what's going on. She's land sick now. It's weird. She gets in the bathtub, starts to feel better. That's...
I tell people, will you just rock me?
You're finally going to get your hot tub because you're land sick.
I got to live in there.
You just listened to some of the worst of the riot. But there's more where that came from.
I know. I checked online.
Get the full experience at riot.radiou.com.
They keep doing great things, guys. Because here's McDonald's Australia. You know what they're doing for Easter? You're going to be sucking down a Shamrock Shake like they're good or something. You're just like, well, it's there, so I have to have it.
Even though now you can get green milk anywhere. It's not special anymore.
But
for this,
McDonald's Australia is getting the Cadbury Cream Egg McFlurry.
I don't like Cadbury Cream Eggs, but this thing looks good.
Let me say it again. The Cadbury Cream Egg McFlurry. Take it in. Both hands in the air. I like Cadbury cream eggs. You know, the thing is that I don't like them. I feel like the way I used to like them.
Sure. You used to be crazy about them.
I know. Now it's like one or two a season.
Now
maybe
you flirt
one.
With them,
it's
but
like,
that's
I'm
about
good.
It.
The problem I have, I need to start communicating to family members because, like, I'll have family send me Cadbury cream eggs. So at the end of Easter, I've got like 3 dozen of them. And it's like, hey, guys, hey, I'm just going to get one.
In fact, I've already had it.
And so we can just go ahead and. Just go ahead and stop right there.
Give me cool. The money instead of the cream eggs.
Yeah, like you know how this was $4. Just go ahead and write me a check for $4 and send that.
Now, they're saying that the Cadbury Cream Egg McFlurry will have 14 teaspoons of sugar.
Oh, my God.
Which I did not know, but the World Health Organization recommends that we consume no more than 6 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Hey, so, I'm an American, so okay?
This one has 14, and that doesn't include all your other food, which I know you're like,
who
well, it's not
think
desserts.
They are?
Sure, sugar's in every food, so, you know, you're way above that.
Wow, 14 teaspoons.
But you know it really what? Does look good.
Come back to me when it's 14 tablespoons and we'll talk,
then we'll
okay?
worry.
Yeah, so I'd be up for... For giving that a shot.
A little taste of it.
Yeah, why not? I mean, the flip side is it's probably not that good. We'd probably get it and be like, this is the best thing I've ever had. Then we're apparently going to die afterwards. So.
Well, just from the sugar.
And you're going to die anyway.
This is
so
why you need
well
to have a friend who works at McDonald's. Because this is in McDonald's, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But we have McFlurry machines here.
I mean, isn't a McFlurry machine really just a blender?
Does it come in a bag or can you like add your own mix-ins to it?
I don't know. Because you know how, okay, you get cookie dough at a ice cream place. Like, it's not a cookie dough. It's like these little pellets that, I mean, really
of it.
Look like, you know, something. And they mix it in and you're like, oh, it's like cookie dough, mommy. It's so good. Ah. So is the Cadbury Cream Egg going to be like this,
dehydrogenated, reinstated hydrate in their little pellets?
I don't know.
Or are they going to be cracking real Cadbury eggs back
chopping
there?
Chopping them up? Or is it just all in the mix?
I don't know.
Like, the if you look at the photo, it appears to be that the ice cream has a now yellow tint, which in some cultures isn't good. Don't eat yellow snow, right? You know, we're just going to have to get over there and find out,
Nikki. I know, right?
We're going to Australia.
Just for your guys' sake, right? We'll take pictures.
Since you enjoy listening to Obadiah and Nikki when they aren't even here, maybe you should follow them on Twitter. Find their feeds and more on the Riot page at RadioU.com.
I'm starting to get a little concerned about myself.
For your morning things?
Well, that's selfish. I know. I get it. I got up at 4:30 today. And I finally left my bathroom at 5:25.
Did you fall asleep for that long?
No, that's the thing. Is I'm sure I must have slept some. I know that I did. But I also did things like...
Take a bath?
Well, there were a couple things that happened. First off, I discovered I normally, when I go in and sleep on the floor, I sleep face first, but... At some point in the laying there, I rolled onto my side, and it was like, this is so comfortable.
And wait, in your bathroom or in your closet?
This is the closet. I've got this little walk-in closet right off the bathroom, and I was laying there. When I rolled over like that, I actually got a little afraid. It was like, hey,
this is not bed.
Like, can't get this comfortable. This is not okay. And yet, laid for a while. Then I did the sitting thing where I just sat there. And just stared for like a really long time. Then I got up and I took a shower. And I don't feel like I took that long in the shower. But here's the part that bothers me. I think I spent somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 minutes trying to figure out what shirt to wear. Which, if you guys actually saw my clothes, it's like t-shirts. There's a couple sweaters, couple flannels.
Shouldn't be that long.
I mean... I was in there out 55 minutes.
That's like a lot of lost time.
So much lost time. What a waste of time.
I'm just afraid I need you to have like backup alarms. Apparently at different stations. In the closet, in the bathroom. I don't know where else, but just in case you ever do fall asleep.
I mean, I think I really only did about 20 minutes worth of stuff. Maybe 15.
But it took you 55 minutes.
But it took me almost an hour to get that together. Here's something else. Like, I haven't had any coffee. Like, I do a cold brew, I'm out, so I needed to make sure I got downstairs in order to, like, hot brew some coffee. No.
Nothing.
I spent all that time, you know, putting together my ensemble, which, again, the real humor comes if you saw what I was wearing. It's jeans and a sweater. There's no.
What I like is that if someone's like, well, then just get up early if it seems like you're not getting enough time to do your morning routine and stuff, but... The problem is he's got plenty of time.
I've got plenty.
He's just not utilizing that time.
Maybe too much. I don't know. And I mean, I feel like this is an overall reflection. I keep thinking about bed. And you're like, I know everybody does that. But like yesterday, I just wanted to go to bed. Like I wasn't even necessarily thinking about sleeping. Yeah. I just wanted to lay there.
Was yesterday the day that you talked about like you could make a bed under your desk? Like
yes,
Seinfeld
yes.
thing. So. Mm-hmm.
I did. I thought
he really does think about it quite a lot.
I really wanted to just like lay down. And you would say like, hey, are you stressed out? And it's like, well, I mean, a little.
Normal.
But I mean, I don't know. I just want to go to bed. Doesn't anybody else want to just go to bed?
Everybody does.
Well, we made it.
You have no idea what I've just been through.
If you want to subject yourself to more torture, you can find even more Riot clips online at riot.radiou.com.
When you went to bed last night and you thought, oh, maybe tomorrow's my day. It's not today. Maybe it'll be tomorrow. I don't know. But if you thought you were going to wake up the richest person in the world.
Nope, not it.
As of right now.
I mean, you can log in and check your account, but I don't think anything's changed.
It's still Bill Gates. He is still the richest man in the world.
Congratulations to him.
He topped Forbes' list of billionaires for the third year in a row.
And he's a philanthropist, so...
Yeah.
You just need to remember that with Bill Gates.
And he's giving away, like, tons of money.
So how does he he still have all this money?
He's down from, he was up to $79.2 billion.
It's crazy.
Now he's down to about 75. That's, I mean, we've said this before, but that's one of those things where you, there is a kind of life that you and I can't fathom, because then it just becomes about what do you want to do? Like, you no longer at all, any of the things that you think about day to day, like, you know, the hour I spend in my closet trying to figure out which t-shirt to wear.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that anymore. Like, someone else does that.
Your job becomes to give away your money.
Yeah.
And you can't even get through it all.
You can't give it a whole way. You can't find enough people to give it to.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, I'll take some.
I know.
And I don't even want, like, a ton. I want enough to buy Nikki a hot tub. And
I want to buy you something, too.
And I think, I don't know.
I least made the list.
I think a vacation for sure.
Yeah.
Like that.
You need a month off and then come back. And
that's funny. I was thinking a month.
Oh, is that
so
good?
That must be.
Yeah,
it's
confirmation.
A sign.
Yeah,
it's a
that
sign.
You would take a month off.
It's a sign that I need a month, right? Man, that's just crazy. $75 billion. Now, he has been on the list for 17 years.
75 billion years.
Yeah, 75 billion years is how long he's been on that list. But
anybody else on it that we'd recognize?
Let's see. Amancio Ortega.
Okay.
Do you know him?
Yes, Mr. Ortega. How do you not know him?
Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Carlos Slim Helou. Jeff Bezos. He's the Amazon guy, right?
Yeah,
he is. $45.2 billion on Amazon there. Mark Zuckerberg and Larry Ellison. Michael Bloomberg. That's a name I've heard of before.
You know Bloomberg name.
Right. And the Koch brothers, Charles and David. Okay. They're both worth just under $40
billion. All right.
So, you know what? And again, like, hey, Bill, you've got 75. How about just $1 billion for me? I don't want all your money.
Hey,
just a billion.
Yeah, that just would take him down one, but we don't even need all that.
I'll tell you what. I'll split it with Nikki. We'll each take $500 million, and we'll just walk away.
The riot's not really here, but it was still kind of funny, wasn't it? Keep listening for more Worst of the Riot or get the full experience right now at riot.radiou.com.
So a couple weeks ago, I got a chance to hear somebody speak, and
it was great.
Here's the thing. Like, have you ever listened to somebody talk and, like, they're very passionate and they're very, like, you know, whatever, but at the same time, it's like, this is utter nonsense. It's just nonsense. And that's the experience I had. This lady was talking, she was like, you know, she talked about snorkeling and skydiving, and she was talking about how in the middle of all that, you know, she really found what the meaning of life truly was.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I believe that.
Because, her, yeah.
You know what? If today I was going skydiving and snorkeling later, followed by, what do you think, a massage on the beach, maybe some hot rocks on my back kind of thing. And
maybe that would be that.
Nice dinner as I watch the sunset and et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure I would feel like I'd found the meaning of life that day. To be served by others. To get all the free, like, on and on and on. Like, there are all these different things that we could say, like, oh, I found the meaning of life that day, but you know what I'm interested in finding the meaning of life? What about on Wednesday when I really just want to go back to bed?
And you thought for sure you were farther along in the week than you are actually.
Where's the meaning? Where's the big
meaning
in
of
that?
Life with that? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, am I going to discover that?
Hey, we can all make the choice in our mind to be skydiving today.
Man, you know what? Here's the thing that I really genuinely like about God is that God is all about little moments on crappy days. It's like, God is with us, little moments, crappy days. I'm sure God's with me if I'm skydiving. Might be meeting him soon, face to face, if you know what I mean. But I mean, he's also with us on Wednesday when I'm laying in my closet trying to decide which t-shirt to wear. And I discover that
an hour for that or
right.
55 minutes.
You know, he's with us in those moments. And, you know, the idea, everybody can get excited when they're being waited on all over the place. Think about how weird Jesus is. Jesus says, no, it's not about being served. It's about serving others. Wait, what? What? I'm telling you, God's got some really weird ideas. Some, I would say, non-normal ideas about where the real meaning of life can be found. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there are days where I'm just like, God, why can't today be snorkel day? I might be having a Wednesday like that right now, you know? But the reality of it is that God wants to be involved in Wednesday morning when you have absolutely nothing good planned at all. In fact, what you really want is to just go back to bed. I just get back in my bed, please. No! Look, God wants to be a part of those days, and he wants to show you meaning in those moments, the unexciting, unglamorous, un-everything moments that really make up day-to-day life. Now, I know I'm not going to get on a motivational speaking tour with words like that, but I do want you to know that right now, God can come into your Wednesday morning. Do you have a relationship with God? Invite him in. Say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to fill me with your spirit. Is there anything good about Wednesday? Could you show me what it is? Let God get involved.
You thought that was good. Seriously, what is wrong with you? You can find some decent Riot clips online at riot.radiou.com.
You graduate from college and you have to have some place to live because they won't let you stay in the dorm. So
no matter how much you ask,
you can beg, you can plead, you
or
can't,
just try to hide. It doesn't work.
You just can't. Though, in fairness, I did have two friends that managed to eat on campus for free for like a year and not pay for room and board because they just slept on different people's couches.
You can, I mean, you can make it work and you can just try to stay as many years as possible.
Why not?
If you think that equals your room and board.
As long as nobody asks questions, like you should be fine. But eventually someone will ask, but you know, that's probably a couple years down
the line. Deal with it later.
I wouldn't really worry about it. So there's a lot of pressure to get out and on your own. But you know what? Maybe you should stop feeling the pressure and just realize that if you were Spanish, it's perfectly fine. Do you know that in Spain, 80% of people under the age of 30 live with their parents?
Live at home?
80%.
Until 30%? 80%? For what reason?
I don't have any reasons.
Well, I didn't know if they say like, oh, for money or like in some cultures, it might just be more normal to stay with your parents until you get married.
Well, but, and again, that's maybe something that we should be thinking about is like, this just becomes, it has already become more normal.
Yeah.
Like that, just in general, between economic reasons and whatever.
And you love your mom.
Well, here's the thing. You could live on your own and have to do your laundry and all this stuff, or you just move home and like your mom just does it.
Well, we know I watch a lot of Korean stuff. And so with that culture, too, they usually just stay until like you just live with your family until you get married. Yeah. And then a lot of times you move in with other family then when you get married. So it's just you're around your family more. Whereas maybe with our culture, you try to get out as soon as possible.
Yeah. The American ideal is I'm leaving.
You have to get out by like 18.
I do think we'll see more of a social shift for that. They say in Spain, one of the biggest issues is that unemployment in people under 30 is
high. So bad.
It's like 50%. They have like the economy has just been so rough.
I don't think anything's bad with it. I mean, if you it's just you have more support then.
Yeah, I actually, to me, I know that for some people there's a social stigma, but like I don't really care.
Well, don't go back and like, is freeload the right word or?
No, I do think you should be contributing.
Yes, it's when you go back or if you're still like if you're 20 and you are still at home, it's not the same as like when you were 12.
Right.
So like you have to do something.
It does. I will say like I have a couple of friends that have lived with their parents and they pretty much just play video games all day. And
learn something with the house stuff.
Like, I will say that I think that's ridiculous. But see, the thing is, you're like, oh, because people should. I think I actually am just jealous.
Oh, because like, you want to have that life,
I
too.
I don't think that it's because I think they're terrible people. It's that I'm mad that I'm not doing that.
I understand that, too. And everybody feels a little jealousy with that.
You know
that's not the life. No, I understand.
Okay, because it's like, oh, wait, I want to do that. But what about me?
Why can't I be there?
I want to be a kept man. Oh, God. That's what I want. It's like...
You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. And you're just living your life.
I'm just a trophy, really.
Well,
but, and I mean, what a catch, right?
I'm surprised no one has wanted the trophy.
I don't understand. Like, well, again,
So don't feel bad if you want to go back home or if you're still home.
Okay, now here's just one. It's like a side question.
Sure.
Okay. What if you decide you want to move back in with parents, but you don't want to move back in with your parents? Say like you had a friend where you're like, hey, listen, I always got along really well with your parents. Do you think I could just move in with them?
That might lessen some of the stress. And then maybe those parents, their kids move in with like your parents.
Yeah.
Because then you lose some of the stress if you are.
Some of the familiarity.
Yeah. Like where they feel like they can still ground you.
Well, Obadiah's up in his room playing games again.
And whereas the other parents probably wouldn't say anything.
They would just be like, well, you know, he's growing and he's learning and it's been a real setback for him lately. I don't know if you heard about what happened between.
They'd probably make you dinner and still do your laundry.
Yeah, so it's, you know what, it's fine. Just take your time. We all have to take our time in life. You know, what's the rush?
Think of the worst thing in the world. Okay, now listen to a clip of the worst of the riot. That way it won't seem quite as terrible.
So if you didn't hear, yesterday was Super Tuesday. And as a result, well, according to this, a lot of people late in the evening began searching how to move to Canada.
Oh, did they?
In fact, according to this, Super Tuesday at about 1 p.m. or, well, it was 1 a.m. Eastern, which would have been about the time, I guess, all the results were in. I don't know. They say that particular search, it jumped over 1,000%.
I bet you that happens every Super Tuesday.
I'm sure it's probably
and
true.
And there'll be more with, you know, whatever the election stuff is. Man, no offense. I really like Canada, but I wouldn't move there. I'd go play something more.
Why wouldn't you move to Canada, Nikki?
Well, it'd be like, I don't know, here, but.
Go ahead. Tell us why it's not good enough. What's that about?
I just feel like I'd want to go to play something way more different. And like there, it's just slightly different. It's cleaner and nicer.
That's what everyone says. It's cleaner and nice. Look how clean it is and how nice everyone is.
You're right.
So, you know what? Right now, there's a Canadian apologizing because you don't like it.
I think it's lovely. I love Vancouver.
Okay. Yeah, all our TV shows are shot there.
Yep.
So just go there. You can see all the things.
And the Bears. You'd think I'd be there. Yeah, it'd be great.
Don't you think it'd be great if you lived there?
Just don't want it to be cold.
Okay.
But I feel like that happens.
Yes, it does.
So
it does.
I would just like to not.
We can't go to Mexico. I saw a man on fire. Can't live there. So.
What's the other one? Sicario. Sicario. I'm not.
People just be shooting at you in traffic. So What? Then again, you can say that for Texas. So it's fine. So South is not for you. North is not for you. Oh. You're going to have to go East or West.
Yeah, I'll have to do something else.
So what do you think? Maybe.
I always thought Italy would be nice, but I want to travel there first to see if I'd commit.
If you really like
it. Every place has its pluses and minuses.
It does. I don't know anything about what's going on in Italy right now. You know what? Right now, there are a group of people in Italy that are so mad about their candidate. They're so angry.
That they're searching.
That we don't even know. They're like,
come over here.
How do I move to Greece? I'm going to Greece if they get elected. Okay, maybe not Greece.
I was going to say, I don't think that's.
They're having some of their own problems.
Again, every place has its pluses and minuses.
I'm moving to an
New
island.
Zealand's supposed to be beautiful.
Is Crete still part of the Italian Republic? What is this? Is it part of, is that Greece?
This is also why we don't work and travel.
Okay. All right. Hong Kong. They've got a Disneyland. That's nice. That's the only thing we know about it, but they got one.
That'd be great.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, apparently people want to move to Canada. I'd move to Canada. Sure. Why not? Whatever. I guess. What do you do there?
It's just like here.
Well, but that's.
People work. They eat. They got. It's life. So it's not different.
That's my thing. Is like you're like, I'm moving to Canada. I hate the president. I'm moving to Canada. Then you get
you
to Canada.
You got your own problems
like,
there. You just don't know it because you're not there.
Somebody there, like, you know, they had a big upheaval in Canada, like politically, and nobody moved here.
Yeah, but sometimes remember, people just want to feel better. So that's how they vented.
That's how they're.
They just said, well, let's just take a look. And then they feel better. They're not going
to
do it.
This just goes back to something we continue to talk about on the show. It's like, it doesn't do you any good. Like when you hop on your social media and you're like, if Hillary's elected, I'm moving to Canada. If Rubio doesn't get elected, I'm moving to Canada. Whatever. Like, it's not, you're not helping. but you're also not helping. Nothing. I think we should move to Italy. I actually don't want to live in Italy, but
I'll come up with something. There's no hurry.
I really like the Whistler idea.
Yeah.
I like
it's beautiful.
Don't you like evergreens?
I do. I loved it.
I like a good evergreen. So, yeah. Okay.
Let's I just need more global warming then, which...
But, I mean, they say we're getting that.
So, because I want it warmer.
Okay, well, then it actually may be just the right spot for
me.
You.
It could be that.
This is the worst of the riot.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Let's talk about snakes. We don't like snakes here at the riot. We also don't like Australia. It's like, oh, that's not fair. Look, Australia is a dangerous place. It seems like everything there can kill you. They're just like, oh, that's just a little spider. Did it bite you? Oh, lay down. Here, what's your mom's phone number? All right, here, call her. Tell her that you miss her and that thank her and you're dead. Okay, just, all right.
Also, it's done big there. Snakes are big, spiders are big, all that stuff.
All right, well, here's a 6-foot, help me with this. There's a 6-foot python in Australia.
Yeah.
They call it a carpet python.
Yeah.
Why do they call it that?
Maybe it's look, like it blends into carpet.
It looks like carpet?
Maybe.
Are you sure it's not because you don't just, oh, like that's our carpet python. He just slithers all over the carpet.
Just don't mind him. Maybe, you know, like if someone kills you, they roll you up in carpet. Maybe this thing kind of rolls around you. What do you think?
If you were closer, I'd give you a high five for that. Because that didn't even occur to
it
me.
It didn't? No, yeah, that's what
that's
I thought about.
That's fantastic. No. That's exactly what it, that's right, because pythons only kill you. So get a load of this. In Australia, like in North America, we're coming out of winter. In Australia, they're going in. Thus the hemispheres. Science! So here's the thing happening with the snakes in Australia. They're beginning to prepare themselves for the long winter by fattening up.
And that means?
That means that they're eating things. And this python ate a huge teddy bear.
What? A koala? Or
no, it just ate a teddy bear. Now,
is it a stuffed one?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not so bad.
Well, many people are like, well...
That means it ate one.
Why would it eat the teddy bear? Well, it turns out that the dog had been playing with the teddy bear. And that the scent of the dog was all over the teddy bear. So the python just assumed like, oh, this is a dog. I can eat it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Hey, just out of curiosity, anybody else concerned that the python thought it was eating the dog and now we're okay with that? And always just thought he was eating the dog. Don't worry about it, guys. That's crazy.
Hey, listen, this says jungle carpet pythons are slow-moving, powerful constrictors that even as babies may strike out at approaching hands and bites.
Yep. Well, there you go. So this guy who owned the snake, what do you do when your pet eats something it's not supposed to, Nikki? Remember when your cat ate the balloon?
Oh, and that was expensive surgery to get the little, it was the balloon string.
Yep.
And to get the balloon string, they have to cut it out.
Well, guess what?
They had to cut the teddy bear out?
They had to cut the teddy bear out of the snake. Here's where it gets even weirder.
Is it a picture of the teddy bear?
No, but they've washed the teddy bear several times and now the teddy bear is back out.
It's not. Well, where at? I mean, what is this teddy bear?
I don't know.
It's not someone's teddy bear.
What, do you think the teddy bear just wandered it off the street?
No, like, is it their yard teddy bear?
It doesn't belong. It's a carpet teddy bear.
Who wants it back? It's not like some little child's teddy bear.
Hey, I'm just assuming that, oh, the teddy bear smelled like the kid, so the snake ate it. It's fine. Well, I don't know whose bear it is.
No, it's a dog toy then. You're right. If it was the dog's, then it's probably its teddy bear. Why save it?
What? I don't know. Say, man, people save weird stuff after surgery. Like, hey, want to see the metal that came out of my arm or what? Hey, look.
The pythons live on a diet normally of pre-killed rodents.
Yeah. Pre-killed?
Like roadkill sort of thing.
I thought they killed it themselves. Isn't that the fun? Like they kill it?
Hey, would you, if it's over there and it's already done?
Well, I mean, to be clear, I live on a diet of pre-killed things.
Sure.
So.
All right. Well, I love talking about snakes. Thanks so much.
I'm just trying to get back to people to remind them that snakes are bad. No, they're not. Yes, they are.
They
want to eat your dog.
Were you bad? Because you have the snake.
Ever wonder how Obadiah spends his days off?
It's just me in a castle. I gotta fight like 1,000 wizards. The only way to beat him is to punch him as hard as I can in their faces.
And while he does that, you can enjoy this Worst of the Riot clip.
Yeah, now if you're thinking to yourself like, Obadiah, I don't have a lot of money to give Radio U during the fundraiser, that's okay, because as soon as you win what they're referring to as the Super Bowl of drone racing, and you get the $1 million prize, you'll have everything that you need.
And you might be like, what's drone racing? It's actually really interesting to watch a drone race. Just, you know, see YouTube for it. But a drone, we know what those are. And so they set up an obstacle like a race course. And you maneuver your drone. You fly it through the course.
Dude, the World Drone Prix, the very first one, is taking place March 11th and 12th in Dubai. 32 competitors. $1 million.
For the prize money?
Yep.
Send Eric. Come on.
It's Dubai, so I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I think,
go big there.
Honestly, I think they give you $1 million when you just deplane.
When you travel.
Yeah.
That's your spending.
Like, here,
that's
your pocket money. Enjoy yourselves. We got so much oil. We don't know. Just take some. Here. Oh, and here's a bar of gold. Take that with you, too. If you don't want to, just put it in the trash over there.
That's not how it really is, but boy, that'd be nice.
It sure seems like that's how it is. So over 100 teams have been invited to compete, but that all involved pre-qualifying events that took place in L.A., Seoul, Berlin, and several cities across China.
So if you've not been invited yet, you're not going.
Right. Well, those several of those like pre-tournaments are taking place March 7th and 8th. So that's what, like this weekend?
Yeah. Well, Monday. Yeah.
Monday and Tuesday?
I think so.
So like, it's in the next
Monday
couple of days.
Monday and Tuesday.
And then it will culminate in the March 11th and 12th World Drone Prix, where the top 32 from all of those other events will be in.
And again, in Dubai.
I could be wrong about this, because obviously this is a thing and people are doing it, but it seems like maybe it's still a small enough thing that you might actually be able to. And I'm not saying today. But, like, this might be something you could actually get into.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to drop probably tens of thousands of dollars if, like, just to get a drone and get it whatever. Because these aren't just, this is not just some drone you got at work.
It's not off the shelf or.
These are racing drones. Like, this guy, here's a video of him actually racing. He has virtual reality goggles on, and that's part of how he races.
They're very serious with it.
Yeah, but oh my gosh, doesn't that sound fun? Like, a pair of virtual reality goggles, and you're flying a drone around? That sounds awesome! That seriously sounds so freaking cool!
It does.
All right, Nikki, I don't care that you're not getting it. I think that sounds amazing.
No, they are fun to fly. And put an obstacle course with it? Sure, why not?
Yeah, plus, I mean, again, with the goggles, it's like you're doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I'm flying around right now. That is so cool, dude. I want to do that. I just need some of you guys to, if somebody wants to get me $5,000 to $10,000 to get started.
Yes, that would be nice.
And then,
well,
I'm sure.
Do you mind if we do our Radio U fundraiser? So then that way Radio U's taken care of through this obstacle course of life.
All right. Well, think about this. All right. Okay. Radio U raises the money that it needs.
And then it's done, taken care of.
Right. But off to the side. It's just a bucket. It's like a little tip bucket, okay? It's like the penny thing that they have at the cash register.
But like a penny.
When people call, it could be like, hey, would you be interested in giving a little money to Obadiah's virtual reality drone racing fund?
I don't know if people are going to go for it.
And then we could explain to them, well, our vision is for him to win the Grand Prix drone racing, and then Radio U.
This year being held in Dubai.
But it'll be next year probably that he'll win. But we feel confident that he's going to do well, and that prize money will come back and support the U.
Well, good call. Way to bring it back. If not, you're going to have to look at his sponsors.
Okay. Shoot, I'll get a sponsor. Who wants to sponsor me? Anybody? Okay. Well, I'll ask you again in a little bit.
You're about to listen to more Worst of the Riot. It won't be your worst decision today.
I just found a bag of fireworks in the men's restroom. Would you guys like to light them off?
So Nikki and I are right now looking at an article that goes into some detail about the kind of food that you get if you work for Dropbox or Google.
Or Google.
Or Pixar. Or even the Apple Cafe Mac. which is apparently spectacular. Oh my gosh, Nikki.
This when you look at the food that it, basically the software companies or the tech companies, the cafeteria that they provide, a lot of those are free too. Did you see that too?
Oh yeah, they're
the food is free. It's like being, it looks like being on a cruise ship. And you just have the whole entire buffet choice.
The thing that amazes me about Google as well is, like, not only is it free, but, like, you can do breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. Like, you can eat as much as you
I'm
want.
I'm living there.
I would. That would be awesome.
Yes, it would.
That would be really awesome. I mean, one could argue, like, well, just working for the company restaurant.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's
looks
right.
Good to me.
I'll be, and you know what? I'll just go back in the mine after I'm done. It's fine.
I'll see you though at the next meal.
Yeah,
the food looks delicious.
I know, and it's probably like, do you think it's continuous graze? Do you think you
all
could be
time,
like,
yeah, that's a buffet, man. People dream of that stuff.
I know, it would be bad.
That's
news.
Like Vegas.
You know what? Here's what happens though. You work at Google, and do you know what? After a while, you're like, oh great, they're making the gourmet pizza again. I hate it here.
You take your food for granted.
I swear, if I worked at Dropbox today, they're having steak tips. Gosh.
Yeah, don't get that attitude.
How am
That's
I supposed to work
attitude.
In these conditions? Because as humans, this is one of the saddest things about us. We would take the best thing,
yes.
The best thing ever, and we would begin to hate and complain about and resent it.
It would just take a little bit of time, and you would not be thankful for your gourmet lunch options.
Great. 7-layer chocolate cake again? And what am I supposed to do? Just have this cookie dough cheesecake instead?
Do you know how much weight you'd gain there?
Oh my gosh.
It'd be literally, again, like a buffet every day. Like, I wouldn't be able to have self-control.
All right, Bob. Please wheel me down to the buffet so I can get something to eat. I now weigh 600 pounds. I'd be like Jabba the Hutt. It'd be like a little platform that would have to move me
so
through
happy.
The cafeteria. Would I?
Yeah,
yeah,
you
okay,
would.
I would.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of the stress and the anxiety at work here comes from, like, where are we going to go to work today? And then people get angry because you don't choose their spot, or we go with this and that, and there's just some friction with it. You don't have that. It's like, well, I'm just going down the cafeteria.
Just going to go down to the cafeteria.
Yeah, and then it's like if you go to one of those buffets where it's like Epcot, you know, one section over here has sushi, and the other section over here has tacos, and then the other section over there.
Cronuts. Yeah.
They hired ramen on those.
They hired dessert chefs from some of the top restaurants in New York to come in and they're just making dessert. Because they figure if you're happy, fat and happy,
then you'll just keep working. Which, again, yeah, it's true. That's why they think that, because it's true.
Here's what you do. You work for Google. You go down to the company gym, hit the treadmill for about 25, 30 minutes, take a quick shower, roll on over to the cafeteria, grab yourself a little something, and now you're refreshed and ready for your afternoon of sitting on the beanbag.
And then all you have to do is break even with your workout and your eating. Just break even.
Yeah.
And you're not even on your beanbag. You're in your pod. So you just have a good day.
Just whatever.
We have now, we're more fortunate, I feel, than others. We always get an enormous amount of like Oreos and donuts,
yeah,
and cakes and stuff. So I feel like we have the dessert and even the beverage section of a bonus break room done.
It may sound ridiculous, but like, I'm just thankful that we have free coffee. Like, we have.
But if we can bring some of the like lunch food into the break room, that'd be great. I just want a sushi plate.
And you're not asking for much.
No, sushi, I don't think so. You want a cold cuts tray.
Yeah, and a Coke freestyle machine and a short order cook and a dessert chef.
Well,
I don't see what. I'm sure asking for a lot. Look, somebody has to create jobs in this economy. Okay, and that's what I want to do. I want to create
jobs.
You're
a good man.
So I need the government to subsidize a pastry chef for Radio U. Is that so much to ask? What can you do for me, presidential candidate?
What you should be doing right now is hunting your next meal out of doors. Since you're not,
you might as well listen to the worst of the riot.
Nikki, I do have some bad news. The surgery that you had scheduled for later today.
No, here comes the joke. Yes, yeah, what surgery is
it's
it?
It's canceled because, well, there's all this stuff running down the sides of the wall in the operating room. And
We're gonna need to wait.
Back with you on that one.
We're gonna need to wait on it. Yeah, hey guys, could you stop going in there? Don't flush anymore.
Oh, that stuff is what's on there.
Yeah.
Where's this at?
Yeah, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. Okay, I'm just gonna. Okay.
Just read the news. Just read the story.
I will read you the facts. Here we go. All right. Surgeons are refusing to operate at a brain surgery unit in Glasgow because of a plumbing leak, which has led to feces leaking down walls in recovery rooms.
Yeah, you're not really allowed to have that. That doesn't help with the germ-free environment.
Well, I mean, you know, after surgery, the biggest enemy is infection.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And in recovery,
when we're
being open to that,
we've turned the recovery rooms into big sewage factories, or at least repositories. My bad. We'll just store like here. Don't touch the walls, and you'll be fine.
It's no problem.
Don't worry about it.
Don't breathe through your nose.
They say that it's been. What? It's been happening for years.
You know
what?
And they're just fed up. Yes, I'm sure they're like, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll fix it.
Oh, I'm not making this one up either. You're going to love this. One surgeon is said to have called a patient and said, your operation's canceled because there's brown stuff running down the wall.
He's just being honest.
You know what? I don't want to get that call. That's one of those things you're like, well, doctor, do you work out of any other hospitals?
Is there nicer, newer models?
Is there anywhere else that we could go? So, you know, because with the thing, they also say that staff morale is really low.
Oh, right I now. Bet. I know. Whenever there's that stuff running down the walls, I would think staff morale would be low, too.
That's one of the best things I've ever heard. Like, hey, guys, just to let you know, the cafeteria is now free, but we're not going to fix the plumbing.
Might get an infection.
What do you think? Okay. All right. Nikki. You can work at a place with that Google level cafeteria, but every once in a while,
there's a plumbing
leak. There's a little wall problem.
Okay. Is that near my office?
Let's say that it's not in your office, but it's right outside.
It's good. Cool. How often? I need to know specifics. You're going to come at me with that.
I mean, it's been going on for a couple of years, but I can't tell you how often.
And my morale is low.
But would your morale be high enough to stay if I turn the cafeteria into a free food?
I wouldn't trust it because I think there's going to be stuff there too. There's walls there too. That leak will spread.
I think that's fair.
So if they're not going to want to take care of the problem, they're not going to take care of your food.
Yeah. I mean, the job market's tough, but I might be willing to relocate.
Just to find something else.
I'm just sending my resume out. Whatever.
I know everybody tries to cut corners and people are busy and you'll get to it, but I think law-wise,
seems important.
You'd have to fix that one pretty fast.
There's a lot you might not know about Nikki.
At 16, she won the gold, turned pro, and was named one of Barbara Walters' most fascinating persons of 1994.
See what else you can learn by listening right now to The Worst of the Riot.
We have Cannon on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What's going on? Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How's it going, Nikki? How's it going, Obadiah?
We're doing very well, and a happy new day for Cannon. His new song, Take It All The Way, finally gets added to Radio U starting today.
Nice. So, Cannon, you sound a lot nicer and more awake than most people we talk to on the phone.
And he was on time, so he's doing great.
So, what's the secret to being so nice this early in the morning?
It's called getting up earlier.
Okay.
Just get up.
So he just said you just get up, and we hear that.
Right.
But that is not always as easily done. Yeah, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, typically, so this isn't always normal for me. So, I mean, typically I would be up till about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning in the studio.
And that's more like it.
I'd sleep until like 2 p.m. because I've been up all night. As I've gotten older, my schedule has changed, and so I've gotten up a lot earlier now to get more done throughout the day. My life is just a little bit different. I have to kind of be a little bit more responsible, so I got to be up a little bit earlier. But that's all. Nothing huge.
Well, Nikki and I are also up at about 4 or 5 in the studio, but that's
because
we're in the morning getting up to come into the studio.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's not always a good attitude. I'll be honest with you with that, but that's all right.
Not always sounding as upbeat as Cannon does. So, Cannon, it's a little late, but happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm 27 now.
Congratulations, man. Now, look, was I seeing it correctly for your birthday?
How you celebrated?
You went to the gun range?
Yes, yes. My wife took me to the gun range, and we just went to go have fun. She knows I like shooting up stuff and, like, blowing up stuff. So she took me to the gun range, and she was like, yeah, take whatever gun you want to shoot. I was like, yeah, I want this one. I got that semi-automatic shotgun. I was like, let's try this one out. And I'm like, that got some kick to it.
So you didn't feel like with a name like Cannon, shooting guns for your birthday was too cliche?
Oh, yeah, true. Good call on that one.
You know, I realized there was a theme, because she took me to a restaurant called the Gun Show, and it was kind
of it's a theme birthday.
right, and so she and it was a really really dope restaurant. Yeah, it was a ton of different kinds of chefs, and they bring their specialty plates out, and they just keep bringing random different like entrees out for us to try. It was really good. But it was kind of a Cannon kind of day. It was like a shotgun kind of a day. I didn't know what was going to happen, but it was great. It was really great. She kept surprising me with different stuff. So yeah, it was fun.
Okay. So I'm looking at that picture of you on Facebook. Is that
at the gun range?
That gun that you're holding in your picture, that's a shotgun?
Yep. Yep. That was a semi-automatic shotgun. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Now, Obi went to the gun range not too long ago. Did you shoot something like that?
No. I just got to shoot a couple of different 9mm.
Ah,
so.
I see.
That was, Cannon, I don't know how often you go to the gun range. For me, that was my first trip to the gun range.
Oh, man. My first trip, I think I shot something like a 45 or something like that. But, I mean, we shot a number of guns. We shot like some 45s and some 9s. A couple of different things. So, yeah.
Now, for my recent birthday, I had cake, but I didn't go to the gun range. So I feel like I've really left. I'm not as cool as you guys, apparently. I'm missing out.
Oh, man.
So, dude, when you go to the range, you just rent something. Like, do you have anything at home, or is this just like something you do for fun on the weekends?
Oh, no, I have stuff at home. I definitely keep things at home. I say.
That's the Cannon warning for everybody in case you find out where he's at.
That's right, dude. That's
yeah. We don't want any intruders. Because,
yeah.
It doesn't take much to aim with.
Gotcha.
Right on. So we're talking to Cannon. His new song, Ads Today. You guys know that he did well in the Battle of the Buzz. Like, let's talk about stuff that's not gun related. I see that you, what have you been up to, man? Like, are you touring? What's new in Cannon's music world?
Oh, man. We have been traveling a lot lately, but we're not on tour, so praise God that I'm busy. That's always a good thing, busy with work. But also, we have been working on this album. We're going to put out an album this year. And with this album, man, I'm going to be a lot more creative, a lot more open, a lot more vulnerable. I don't know, people always kind of say they're going to take it up a notch mm-hmm. with their album. But I think this is going to be really good for me. I think it's going to be very therapeutic, too, from a lot of stuff that I've been through the past year or whatever. My life has flipped upside down within the past year. And I think people have been eager to kind of see how my life is going to change or has been changed. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a new experience for me. I've ventured out and do different things with it. So, yeah.
Now, as you're talking about, like, doing different things and stuff, like, for you, is that more a matter of, like, being more lyrically open, or is it a matter of, like, you've got musically, like, a style and kind of a different direction you want to go?
The whole nine.
Everything. Okay.
Everything, yeah. I feel like the moment that people can predict where you are or who you are as an artist at all times, I kind of feel like that gets boring. So I don't want to be boring, and I don't want to be put in the box. I want to be able to be something as a surprise or a good taste in somebody's mouth that they haven't tasted before. And I just want to surprise them with a bang. I want to come in with a bang and leave with a bang. So, I mean, pun intended.
I was going to say, now we've gone back to the shotgun and the earlier gun range reference. So. For sure.
Oh, man.
He knew he was doing that. He knew it.
All right, Cannon, it's been really good talking to you this morning. Now, do you have, Like, do you have a target? Target?
Oh,
date?
There you see it. Just, oh, my goodness. It happens.
For the album, or is that just something you're going to get to later?
Typically, when I drop a project, it's in the fall. And okay. Historically, I've dropped everything in October. So I can't promise that it'll be in October, but I can say more than likely it's going to be in the fall. So,
okay. Yeah. Right on. Well, dude, it's been really great having you on the phone this morning. And
we're excited for the new song.
We
and
are.
Then, of course, the upcoming album, which will keep everybody updated as we get closer to its release.
Fantastic. Well, hang on for us just a second, okay?
All right.
There you've got Cannon. This is brand new stuff from him. It's called Take It All Away.
And I would suggest check out RadioU.TV. We've got tons of music videos from him.
We do, actually.
And I know he didn't really go into it, but he's got a lot, like last year and stuff, a lot of things that he has gone through. So it's worth kind of looking a little bit more into Cannon to kind of see, like, when he was talking about for the new album, like, you know, lyrically and stuff and coming out of some things and kind of putting that all into songs. It's worth looking into to see, man, he's got quite a story.
Yeah, dude, he has had a rough couple of years, but it's exciting to hear him back doing music. And mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the project.
Instead of the next Worst of the Riot clip, Obadiah has a special presentation for you.
I ever tell you about my Star Trek script? The Enterprise is 5 parsecs out of Rigel 12.
On second thought, here's that Worst of the Riot clip after all.
There are ways that I know that I don't have to worry about Nikki turning to drugs to turn an extra profit. Okay? And there are times when I get concerned. She's like, I got to have that new iPad. Where am I going to get the money?
It's not, though. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about Nikki doing that. And here's how I know that I don't have to worry about it. Because in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is so cliche, selling meth in Albuquerque. I mean, come on.
Couldn't you come up with something else? I mean, the show ruined that.
I mean, really. What we have here is that two brothers that were selling drugs in the parking lot of an adult bookstore.
Oh, gosh,
now, wait.
Worse and worse and worse.
That's not the part that tells me Nikki's not going to be involved. It was the porta potty in front of the adult bookstore. So here's how
it works. Is that where they were selling it out of?
Yes.
A porta potty?
Here's how it works.
You would buy drugs from two guys selling with all those qualifiers out of a porta potty?
Nikki, in the UK, people are getting brain surgery in operating rooms with feces on the wall. See earlier story.
Yeah, earlier.
But I mean, you know.
So what's with the porta potty?
Well,
that's their office?
Yeah. Haven't you ever heard that? Like, I'll be in my office. But they're talking about the bathroom.
I've heard you say that, and I know what you're saying, but no.
Oh, I don't say that. I have an office upstairs. I'll be in my office. What do you think? I'm in the bathroom all day? You think that's a euphemism? Nikki's like, he's always in the bathroom.
Office. No, I know.
It's crazy. No, so the way it works is this. Brother number one, he's out in front, and he is, you know.
Loitering.
Yeah, and people come up like, hey, where can I get meth? And he's like, see, brother number two. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
And go to the porta potty.
And so he is...
The guy has to stay in the porta potty all day?
And that's how I know.
Oh, that's no way.
You'll never be a meth dealer.
No
because
way.
If I said to you, Nikki, now look, we're going to turn a quick profit. You can make as much as $10,000, but you're going to need to sit in this porta potty all day.
Not even if it's clean.
All right. What if it hasn't been used?
No, okay. The last time I have used a porta potty was at a music festival. I was setting up, so it was before the music festival started.
Yes, come on.
I broke the tape outside the porta potty door, and I used the porta potty. I did. And it was still just mentally very, very difficult to be in there. Claustrophobic.
All right. Okay, look. Let's create a scenario. Let's say drugs are out.
Yeah.
It's not an illegal situation, but for $500, if you'll spend 8 hours in a recently cleaned toilet port.
1 hour.
No. 8 hours. That's it. 8 hours, $500.
Nope.
I'd do it.
8 hours, $800.
$650.
$800.
$670.
7 hours.
$675, 7.5 hours.
7 hours, $700.
See, you're still trying to nail me on the hourly rate.
And
which
you're
is
putting a fan or some sort of ventilation.
There's little vented things at the top.
I need air.
Okay. Well, you're gonna eat it. You gotta eat in there too.
You're just so rude.
I just like
Okay, someone hands me something like a smoothie.
Oh, I think that'd be worse.
That'd be in a cup.
Okay, I don't know.
I'm not
maybe.
Like eating food that's out.
Okay, and all right, by the way, every once in a while, people may come to the door and you have to pass them a little baggie of this stuff.
Hey, you said no drugs. No drugs. You know what?
It's not drugs, Nikki. It's sprees
which
that have been ground up.
In the toilet part of it.
You have to reach down and...
Oh, not enough money.
Yeah.
All right, come on, guys. I know you're thinking like, hey, life is... No, it's not. Take a step back and look at what you're doing and where you're doing it at.
By the way, Albuquerque PD arrested them. And just as a side note, on Monday, we're going to be talking to Dawn from Fireflight, who works and lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
That works out perfectly.
Since you enjoy listening to Obadiah and Nikki when they aren't even here, maybe you should follow them on Twitter. Find their feeds and more on the Riot page at RadioU.com.
Let's talk about breaking up. Look, breaking up is hard to do because you love them.
Aw, you don't want to break up.
I love them. Look at this pile of notes I have. Look where they told me how great I was. Just seeing them here hurts me. It hurts me.
You're going to miss the memories.
They're all lies. Let's take them down to the playground and burn them in a fire. Okay. So that's what they did. They took them down and they set them on fire. And then what do you do when you're done setting your love notes on fire?
You put out the fire.
I'm sorry, Nikki.
You did take the ashes to his house. And you leave them at the front door.
You put them in her shampoo.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh.
You mix
them
up.
Wait, that means you got in.
And put them in her tea. Drip them in her soda.
No.
No, you don't do any of those things. You walk away while the notes are still burning, and then later find out that the playground burned down.
Oh, gosh, because you left it unattended.
Just like your love.
Well, now you have another memory associated with you breaking up with her.
It's a monument to our relationship. See where everyone used to play and have fun, and now there are only ashes and ruins.
That's one of those where you made a mistake, and your mistake escalated into a bigger mistake.
It most assuredly did. Here's the problem. When you walked away with the burning fire or whatever, there were a bunch of notes that had your name on it. And so
that still did not burn.
Not all the notes burned up. I mean, the rocking horse, it's gone. Forget about that. But this note that clearly identifies your name and address, oh, we still have that. So they brought them in. They're facing charges, there are two of them. Criminal mischief, criminal negligent burning, and failure to control or report a fire. And this was in Alaska. I thought it was so cold there they couldn't even have fire.
I guess I assumed that too.
Yeah, so I guess this is a heads up. There's nothing wrong with burning those love notes that are now obviously lies.
But just like if you were camping and you had a fire.
It's a controlled burn, Nikki.
You need to put out and make sure it's all done when you're done with your little thing that you're doing.
Yeah, so, you know. Put them, just spread them out there.
Don't
on the living.
Don't count on your tears being enough to put it out, because it's not.
You'll want to have a fire extinguisher of some
something,
kind.
Something.
You know,
something.
The other thing is, I know it's not as dramatic, but have you thought about a paper shredder? I mean, that can actually prolong the process, too.
Oh, and then you could just, like, sprinkle or make the shredded paper just snow on her.
There you go.
You're just, like, up
above.
Like
a little pile.
That'll still get you arrested, because then you're just being way creepy, and you're not handling the breakup in a... A grown-up way.
Okay, all right. I see what you're saying, but what? Littering's a $500 fine. My guess is $21,000 worth of damage to the playground itself, plus three different criminal charges.
He's probably a little bit more.
I'm going to go with the littering fine, okay?
Well, we made it.
You have no idea what I've just been through.
If you want to subject yourself to more torture, you can find even more Riot clips online at riot.radiou.com. Radio U.
We are controlling transmission.
Riot Control.
Nikki, let's talk about The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD.
If we have to.
The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess is a game that released first on the Wii, and then like a week later, it was out on the GameCube, and I don't think it was a launch game for the Wii, but it was darn close if it wasn't. Maybe it was.
And it was well received.
It was fairly well received. It was the game that was the follow-up to Wind Waker that a lot of people...
Which was really...
Well, that was a more controversial choice.
Yeah.
People called it Zelda, which was not very nice. That was a game that I absolutely adored.
Yeah.
And Twilight Princess is much more of a throwback to, say, Ocarina of Time. Now, Twilight Princess HD, you ask yourself, okay, all we're doing is remaking games these days. Can I get something new? Well, they are working on a new Zelda game, but this is there to hold you over. Now, with these remakes, here's what I find. You either go back to a game and go, oh, man, I remember thinking this was really good. Not so much. Or you go back and go, wow, this actually was good.
If it holds up.
Twilight Princess HD, just like Wind Waker, I feel like holds up very well. It shines a light on the fact that oftentimes you end up with the people at Nintendo making games, especially the Zelda team, that they just stand the test of time. This is still a really good game. And it is true that you'll get into some areas where it's like, oh, they would not have done this like this if they made it today. But for the most part, it holds up well. And it looks pretty good. I mean, let's be clear. It is still an old game, and it looks like an old game, but it looks like such a stylized old game that in HD at 60 frames a second, I gotta tell you what.
It passes?
It still looks pretty stinking great. The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD, it's out today. As I mentioned, they've updated the graphics. They've added hero mode to this version. There's some amiibo support, which I didn't really use a whole lot, to be honest. If you have amiibos, like, of course, there's Wolf Link amiibo that unlocks a new mode. And then you've also got, if you have some of the...
Give it to me. Something.
The Smash Brothers.
There we go.
If you got some of those amiibos, like, you can use those and get some bonuses in the game.
What is there is just snapping. I was expecting more, like, charades.
Yeah, I know. But I was right there, but I just didn't have it. So, if you haven't played it, again, fairly traditional, but part of the game takes place in the Twilight Realm as Wolf Link, which, again, I thought played really well. It's a real different take on Zelda-type stuff. And I actually think that Twilight Princess has some of the best dungeons in the history of Zelda games. And you're like, oh, who wants to go to a dungeon? Well, or a boss temple, thing, cave, the place that you find your way through.
That's where it still looks good.
It does. And the other thing that was really great is it's been 10 years since this game came out. I don't really remember it. Going back and playing through it, I was like, wow, I didn't remember this. Like, yes, there are moments where you're like, oh, yeah, this. But I had forgotten a lot of it. So in some ways, it feels like going through it for the first time. So the Twilight Princess HD Legend of Zelda, it's out today. Nintendo sent us one to play around with. And I will have to say, if you've got a Wii U, it's pretty good. It really is.
You just listened to some of the worst of the Riot. But there's more where that came from.
I know. I checked online.
Get the full experience at riot.radiou.com.